Love between humans is just not easy. And without great examples or education about emotions, communication, sex, and what keeps love alive, it's too easy to be disheartened, settle, or give up on what you want most. I believe you can have the love and intimacy you want. And having coached thousands of people on their love lives for over 20 years, I know what love can be for you. So I'm bringing you people who share vulnerably about their dating and relationship struggles and how they learn to create the most connected, fulfilling, and exciting love and sex of their lives. So you can have it too. Hello, and welcome to this episode of Practicing Love, Have the Best Love and Sex of Your Life After 40. James, and I'm thrilled to be here today with Tripp and Allison Lanier. And Tripp and Allison and I have known each other for, it's at least 20 years, I think, at this point. I mean, we kind of grew up together in our young adult lives. And, you know, Tripp and I have been in touch through business, but Allison and I just realized we haven't even talked since we've had our babies, and it's been probably 14 or 15 years. So amazing to see both of you and have you both here. And one of the reasons I'm thrilled to have you here is because you two are kicking ass, I would say, at relationship. And you've always been a strong couple, even back in the day. And to know that, you know, 15, 20 years later, you're still doing it and you still look happy and you still love each other is really inspiring for people. So thank you so much for being here and for all that you've done to make that happen.
Thank you so much for having us.
Thanks, Jan. Yeah.
Anything you want to say before we get into the struggles of, like, you know, what, how you define your relationship right now, or, you know, how long you've been in it? Any details you want us to know or that would be fun to share?
Yeah, I mean, I would say, Tripp, you're probably going to make a joke, but I would say it's valuable to hear that we've been together for 20 years, you know, going strong for 20 years. Yeah. You know, navigating, having a kid and raising a kid and moves and, you know, losses and gains and all of that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's important.
It is important. It's a long time. And, you know, to actually thrive for all of those years with whatever ups and downs you've been through, it's a feat.
Yeah.
We've been through seasons too. Like, you know, we're different in a lot of ways than who we are when we met. And I think that's part of the, I feel really fortunate because it could be at some point we grow apart from one another in our, whatever happens. And I felt that we have come closer together in a lot of ways over these guys, especially these last few years. So, and that's been unexpected. I mean, I think she and I were very independent coming into this relationship and kind of viewed like if we make it to 10 years, awesome. Like, but I don't, there was just like, I don't think we had super high like fantasy world expectations that marriage and life was going to be the end all be all. So I think we got into this tentatively, even though I would say we were very committed to one another, but the not knowing just what could happen. And I think it was a big question mark.
I can feel that.
I feel like I'm painting a bad picture there, but I think it was just like a cautious optimism.
Paradox. Yeah. 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 Right. Yeah, there's okay, you were committed, and you're also, it sounds like there's also, you weren't stuck in the box of, till death do we part, you know, if we're not happy here, or this isn't going well, we're gonna just fucking be miserable and
or
stick it out.
Or this is happily ever after. I think we both knew we were in for a ride when we signed up for this, and we were both very committed to going on that ride together.
Yeah, I would say committed and engaged, but unattached. So there, we didn't. I think what I'm hearing from you, Tripp, which resonates for how I believe you're speaking and how I believe we've held it, is we didn't paint a picture. We didn't have a big pretext of what marriage life was going to look like. We didn't paint a picture. We didn't go in with a lot of expectations in terms of this is okay. Now we're married. Now it's going to be like this, or now our relationship is like that. We didn't subscribe to any of that. And I think that was what has benefited us over the time is because we weren't bumping up against massive disappointments because we didn't hold some sort of pre-text.
Rigid, Yes, like yeah. pre-created frame.
Yeah, kind of conventional created, like what, yeah. what this needs to be. So that, I think that actually saved us in a lot of ways.
Interesting.
I mean, what had me excited to commit to this in a marriage was that one of the vows, one of the things that we promised is that we were there to support each other to be our biggest, better versions of ourselves. Yeah. And so yeah. the idea that we were going to be the thing that got in the other person's way, or that essentially cut us off from what had us feel more alive or more whole.
Yep.
That's the fear of getting into a relationship or into a committed relationship, is that somehow yes. this is going to diminish me or weaken me mm-hmm. in some way. And so knowing that that was really the commitment to one another, it was relaxed. And so even if there was an element of like, gosh, this commitment means I need to get out of the way.
Mm-hmm.
It's scary, but it was better than, nope, you're strapped to me no matter what, and we're going to be fucking miserable, and you're yeah. going to carry my purse at the mall kind of a thing. And it's like, yeah. no, I'm not going down there.
Well, one of the things I love is that, you know, you two made that commitment. That was a commitment I made for my marriage as well. And we didn't. We chose not to, you know, last. We chose to end it, or transition, mm-hmm. I would say, into co-parents at this point. And, you know, we recognize that this form is better for us. But I really admire that you've been able to ride those waves. And I guess one question I have too is, okay, so without the pre-framed, this is what marriage looks like, how did you create yours? You know, was it like, oh, we're going to sit down and intentionally say, what is marriage to us? Or is there an annual way you're looking at things? Or how did that happen?
Well, it started before we got married, of course, with laying a really solid foundation of what kind of relationship and how were we going to be in relationship with each other. So there was a lot that happened before marriage showed up, but I would say that largely, you know, in line with what Tripp's already named here, you were jokingly like, yeah, not just till death do us apart. So we consciously did not have vows like that. We wrote our own vows, and those vows were rooted in central tenets that were our core values to do with what kind of relationship do we want? What kind of marriage do we want? So, and we have stuck by those vows. Like we will live into them daily. And if we need to remind ourselves or each other of them, we can, and we do. So, and loving each other into their best self is that's part of the vow. It's like, whether it works for me, whatever he's got going on, if it lights him up and brings more wholeness into his spirit and his being, whether it works for me or not, like that's, I'm committed
you support
to
that. Yeah, supporting that. To supporting yeah. that. Which is beautiful. But she, and doesn't
she,
always
it
happen.
Ends at death. She's not, she said that we're not soulmates there. This, after this
lifetime, that's it. You're
she's
done.
She's fucking done with me. She's like, she said, we're good. She's like, don't come find me.
You're taking things out of context. This is, you know, we're.
This I heard is you loud and clear.
Humor is
don't
part
come
of
and
how
find me.
This relationship alive, yes.
Huge. Yeah, huge.
Don't come find me.
Shit.
I'm done.
I didn't say that.
Anything you want to add, Tripp, to how you've created this relationship?
I think that, you know, I noticed that there was, I was very committed. I wanted to be with you, Allison, and I wanted to create a life with you. I felt so certain about that, which I'd never ever felt about anybody else that I'd been with. And I remember leading up to our wedding and our marriage and just feeling like a passenger because of this kind of, there's this cultural convention of what a marriage is or whatever. And I was like, fuck this. This is not what I want.
Nice.
And so it really was about like, what would this relationship really mean? What am I really putting both feet into in this regard? And so we've alluded to that, but it required me to do something that I don't see a lot of other guys doing,
yeah,
which is taking responsibility. What am I really committing to here?
Yeah.
And I'm going to put that on the table here. And this isn't, I'm going to go online and download some vows. It was really just taking the work, you know, doing the work and making the effort to say like, this is what I'm committing to.
Awesome.
And this is what
so
I'm asking
you to commit
to.
At some point before the wedding, it sounds like you woke up and you realized like, okay, I'm not going to be a passenger here. I'm actually going to be generally.
Yeah, even though I was very happy and very, very much a yes, it still, it wasn't explicit. Mm-hmm. And I think making it explicit was extremely important.
Yeah. I think that's a huge lesson, or, you know, something I've learned is, right, explicit versus implicit. There can be all these things that are implicit, but if they're not explicit, then the other person, and it's not a shared reality between the two people, then there's so much wondering or confusion, or, you know, it doesn't create a stable foundation for people.
Right.
For sure. Well,
I thought marriage meant this. I thought marriage meant that. It's just right. Like, no, you got to get on the same page. And that can be scary. A lot of folks are like, yeah, I don't want to rock the boat. I don't want to, what if we're not on the same page? And I see that a lot with my own clients, as they've been with somebody for maybe 5-10 years and they've grown who they are. Mm-hmm. Their partner may be on a different path. And so this, like, gosh, we're just not even on a shared foundation anymore around what we care about and what we value in one another. And that's terrifying for them. Yep. And they'd rather not address it. Most of them just have a really hard time just going into it and saying, hey, what if we hit a refresh?
Look at this.
What
are
we
talk really, about
what
this.
Are we, what are our hell yeses? Mm-hmm. And can we build from there? And instead of, let's just stay in the box that we created however many years ago.
Right. Yeah. Was there something you wanted to say, Allison? That looked like,
well, yeah, I mean, you actually named it, Shana, but I think many people that we work with, that we also know socially, they actually just don't even get to that point of like, hey, are we still on the same page? Or even, hey, this is lighting me up right now, and I'm not so interested in that anymore. Or I'm noticing that I'm digging this way of connecting with you sexually better than that way, or whatever. At this, you know, at this time, it, like, people don't really necessarily talk like that to each other. And so, the getting to the place where suddenly we're in different worlds and we are going to go different ways, that can be an assumption oftentimes that hasn't been checked out because it just hasn't ever been brought up.
Yeah. I think that's what I really appreciate about the, you know, it's in some ways not necessarily just the number 40, but there's something around this midlife phase where it's like, okay, I feel like I see people waking up out of a trance, like, oh, I did the thing where, you know, the cultural, the white picket fence, the kids, the whatever. And like, wait a minute, who am I and what do I really want? And, you know, and that the, there's so many more challenges with kids and body and all kinds of things, but it also feels like it's a really beautiful opportunity to say, okay, how do I want to live the next half of my life or the next phase of my life? And what is real for me and what's real for you? And, you know, how could we do this together?
Right. Yeah. Or do we want to do it together?
Right. Right. And, you know, I try to support people who come to me to be like, all right, let's go for together first, but let's really hold also that, you know, you might not want to do this together, and that's okay too. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So we talked a little bit before we started recording about one of the struggles that you've faced and are practicing with, you know, around not letting the we or the couple die in the midst of the rest of life, right? The parenting, the scheduling, the health concerns, the world falling apart, the hurricane, you know, all the things. So can you talk a little bit about that struggle? And, you know, before we get to the learnings and solutions, what is it like? Like, what is hard about keeping that alive for you?
Yeah. Well, I think it's important to just kind of start from the beginning there, which may take a little bit more time, but I want to name it because it was really pivotal for me. Yeah. And so we had our daughter. This was, she was probably 8 months old when this conversation happened, but we'd had a baby. I quit working. We moved across the country. Wow. I was away from all of my social network and support network in terms of people in person and able to do that with me. And while I was raising her in those really hard years where she's kind of her neediest and I'm at my weakest and also neediest probably. And,
yeah.
You know,
yeah.
And the decision that we had made to move part was rooted in, you know, if we'd stayed where we were, I would have had to keep working and I really didn't want to, or really wanted a parent full time. And so I threw myself into being a full time mom.
Yeah.
And as you, I'm sure you well know, Shayna, what it's like in our nervous systems as mothers when our babies are crying, or crazy, when our babies are needing something, or when just that sort of radar where even if they're okay, we're like, there's a huge part of us that is with them,
focused,
you know,
there with them
energetically, mm-hmm, and psychically, yep, and all of that, you know. And so so I was really fully in it with her, and, you know, fumble fucking my way through as well. And I remember all of the hormones, is like, I was sort of postpartum depression, and also just hormonally, like, yeah, such a strong mama bear kind of thing with her, where often I could want to push Trip away. Just his style of parenting wasn't working for me. And I had my judgments around how he wanted to parent or not parent or whatever. Yeah. And so there was a lot of just even nonverbal, unconscious things going on that felt hormonal, felt biological, yeah, in, yeah, a lot of ways, which was really interesting and surprising to me. What I remember is that how easy it was to keep doing that day in and day out. And I
the
remember
pushing away, or the kind of,
yeah, just like being consumed with, uh-huh, her. Like, yeah, even if there was a moment for us to connect, like I remember like having moments where I would just like physically turn my attention to her, or mm-hmm, I'd talk about our daughter or something instead, you know, I'd like,
yeah,
in a moment where we could have just been us, like there's no need to bring her in, but I would. And so I remember feeling that, like, well, that's just where I'm at. And there was a day where Trip sat me down, and I don't remember, obviously this was many, you know, 13 years ago, 14, almost 14 years ago, but so I don't, yeah, remember verbatim, but he sat me down, squared up, right next to me, and he said, I am not willing to let us die on the vine in the same breath as, like, of course we're going to raise this child with everything we have. Of course you're going to be like totally zoned in on her. Oh, like really understanding that I was where I was, but also saying, this is just as important. We are just as important. Mm-hmm. And I remember being like, there's no fucking way. Like, there's no way I have more bandwidth than what I already am doing. Like, I can't possibly do more with another right now. Yeah. But of course I love him, and he was right. And I knew he was right. And that was the start, I think, of, really call, like, while before, when we were dating and before we went through all that big sort of transition and growth and hardship, that I had that with him. I was like, yeah,
right,
it's us, we're doing this, we're carrying the flag for what's here. And I did that really well. But when my attention was like, no, I'm over here and fully over here on behalf of all of us, and him anchoring that value,
yes,
for us really did wonders.
Yeah. Amazing.
And
a challenge to say that.
I don't know, Trip, you have a knack for, even though you don't like confrontation, when you need to,
yeah,
you sack up. Like, you,
well, I see that too, right? He has a knack for being able to say, I see this separate, obviously, you know, I'm not inside your relationship, but in the world or coaching, I can see where,
yeah,
you have the capacity to say something that can be challenging with a whole lot of love and understanding. Like, hey,
yeah,
I'm not saying that, you know, you shouldn't have your full attention on this baby right now. And there is a we. And if we don't make it, she doesn't get to have us, right? Or if we don't make it,
yes,
here's the, you know, here's what's going to happen.
I think if I had made it about the symptoms,
yeah,
you know, we don't do anything anymore, you don't have sex with me, you don't do these things, if it had come across as complaints,
yes,
that's the smoke, it's not the fire, it's not the it's not the genuine concern. The genuine concern is, we're drifting apart here, we're going into autopilot, we're starting to sleepwalk through this, and that's not acceptable. And so the genuine thing I wanted to get across was, I love you and I care about us, and that's what we're here to do, instead of, let me go through this list of all the shit you're not doing well,
right,
and pile it on top of all the responsibilities that you already have, because that would have just closed the door.
No, that would have just crushed her. And I just heard you say, I love you and I care about us. It's a very different tone than fuck you for not being who I need, or I'm, you know, even I'm hurt. I mean, you can be hurt. You can be all those things, but right, the fire, not the smoke, is that sense of, I love you. I want to be with you. I want to make this work for us.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And just seeing, like, and having compassion, like, yeah, I don't know how the fuck we're going to do this. We need to figure this out.
Yes.
Yeah. And that was, I mean, that is essentially what you said. You were like, we need to figure this out. And that also helped. It was like, I don't have all the answers. It's not that you're not enough and I'm just standing over here tapping my foot with my arms folded. Like, we need to figure this out. And so we did. And that is, I say that, I go back to that story long ago, because while I felt really strong with that value before going into all the other things, like when we were virtually single, like we were dating, we were engaged, we were, you know, we were newly married, like all those things, like that's fun. It's fucking easy compared to, like, you bring a freaking baby in the world, right? And so, and move across the country and, you know, just all sorts of things like that, hormones, all that. So, life stressors, right? Like he was having to, you know, now come up with two incomes, and, you know, like there was just a lot going on, a lot that could take us away from each other. And so I wanted to mark that time, because that was pivotal as a way to codify the value, to like tattoo it into our hearts that this is a value of ours. And we've held that up through and through. Yeah.
Well, that's what I was just going to say, too, is that's amazing, too, because you can codify that, and then you can 5 years later, 10 years later, be like, hey, we had this conversation. This was really important to us. What happened?
Yes.
So it sounds like you managed over time to keep that as a priority and to keep that we. Yeah. And I love that question. How can we do this together? How can we be on the same team? Not how can you fix this?
Exactly.
Yeah, I think it was important. The temptation is to get into an adversarial dynamic.
Yeah.
Well, if she just did more of this and more of that, you know, well, if you just did more of this and more of that, you know, get into that instead of, all right, we signed up for this. We've signed up for this challenge and we're in it now. And this isn't forever. So let's go through it together. Let's be on the same team here instead of add another layer of hardship on top of it.
Yeah.
And I that always helped me feel better. I was just like, oh yeah, we're in this together. We're facing these challenges together, instead of these challenges shouldn't be happening, or they should be easy if only my partner just did A, B, and C. And I think that's an easy thing to do, which is, somebody else is responsible for all this discomfort and you know, these hardships.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it's especially easy to blame if you're the one who feels, if you're the quieter one, or there's someone else who's, you know, stronger in the relationship and is calling the shots, and it's like, well, you know, I'm not doing it, but there's kind of the choiceless choice too, right? Whatever side of the dynamic you're on, you are creating that dynamic. Okay. So what else? Yeah. Tell us about like some of the struggles over the years of maintaining the we, which will probably also get into some of what you've learned and how you're practicing, I imagine.
Yeah, for sure. Trip, do you want to think of any over the years?
Where that shows up. I mean, you know, now that our daughter is becoming more independent, there's a tendency for us to like, we're waking up like, oh, wow, we have more time for ourselves individually. And there's also a rediscovering like, well, who am I now at this stage? And then how does that impact the relationship that we're in?
Which again, I think could be threatening. It's exciting, but also could be threatening to some people.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, I'm convinced Allison's going to leave me for a 75-year-old beekeeper. But
for a what?
A 75-year-old beekeeper. But
is this a, do you have one in mind, person in your life?
I'm like, do you have one in mind?
I'm keeping an eye on these guys. I mean, they can't walk very well, but they know a lot about bees, and that's like a big, big turn on for her. I can't compete.
They're into beekeeping right now.
Yeah. Wow. Nice.
Anyway. So I couldn't think of any over the years, so I pitched it to you. But yeah, you are speaking to something that is much more current, which is, so our daughter is becoming more independent. Mm-hmm. She finally, you know, so just for those out there, just, I feel like I have to just do a little bit of my developmental teaching hat on. So for teenagers, they shift their primary attachment from their caregivers to their friends, to their social network. So she's doing that. She's right on time in doing that. And I'm hugely supportive of that happening. Not only because I know that developmentally she's on time and that's what should be happening. And I really like her friend network. And, you know, like she's in a good, she's got a good thing going on with that. But it's giving me more freedom. Like I'm noticing, oh my God, I can finally started when she started kind of tweening. Like I was like, oh my God, I'm starting to like, I think I can see my life again, you know, coming back on. I can like have my own life again. So I've been really excited about this. And I think as she has started to transition in that way from the nest more, mm-hmm. I too have transitioned from just like circling the wagons around the three of us. And I'm now more like, okay, what do I want to get into? What am I interested in? What do I want to refresh, you know, what energizes me and what enlivens me in the world as far as me being in the world again, instead of feeling like I'm just at home. And I have been working the whole time, but there's largely my primary commitment has been home, you know, and the family. And so Trip has really felt that. And it has been threatening to him.
Okay. As you've kind of had a sense of, oh, there's a world out there. I could focus on other things. Once my kid doesn't need me, I'm not necessarily going to put all that relationship back or all that energy back into our relationship. I'm going to take some of it and go with it.
Yeah, because I still have, I mean, while that's all happening, I still have a certain amount of time in a day before I'm back on duty again with her or with householding or, you know, that sort of thing. And so what I notice is what that time was where I historically could just be like, you know, kind of like we joked with you, like we fucked off all day just to be with each other. But like, whereas historically that was totally fine to just kind of fuck off and be with each other and just kind of be in waiting for him whenever he was available away from clients or whatever. It felt that way to me that was what I was doing. Now I'm more like, well, I got my own thing going on and I want to go do this. I'm actually not available for you when I historically have been available for you during this time. Okay. So I think he's really felt that.
Mm. Do you want to say anything?
I would say that it was just as long as we weren't talking about it, I noticed it was like, well, what the fuck's going on? Because the pattern was, oh, cool. She's a, you know, whatever. If there was open time, then the default was that we would get together, you know, and do those things.
We'd be fucking, to be clear. Or going out on dates or having lunch together, whatever.
Yeah.
I prefer making love. And the. The idea, it was just like a different behavior, and it was like, whoa, wait a second, what's going on? And it was the part that was threatening was me living in a world of assumptions of like, oh wow, I guess she doesn't value this or want this anymore. And once we just talked about it and got on the same page about what is happening and what is going on and what it looks like going forward, it was like, okay, we'll work through this. This is fine.
So one of the practices, it sounds like, right, is actually being honest and, you know, transparent about what's going on. But before we get to that, I'm just wondering, Trip, because I could see a lot of people, whatever gender, right, being threatened in a way like, oh, my partner has something new they're excited about. Maybe they are going to leave me, or maybe, you know, can you give a little more about like I don't know, maybe just some of what was going on in your mind or how it felt threatening.
I think if it was left unchecked, mm-hmm. there was a concern of will our relationship, in the same way that I was concerned earlier on that yep. we were to go into autopilot, that from here on out, we just become ships in the night.
Got it. Right. Like separate, not the
just
we
separate
anymore.
Worlds. Yep. And hey, how you doing? Oh, you're doing your thing. I'm doing my thing. And then we don't really have a we anymore.
Yes.
And I didn't want that. I was very clear that I didn't want that. So the concern was, geez, maybe she wants that.
Got it. Mm-hmm.
She's highly independent and maybe she's just done. Like she doesn't want a man, period. Doesn't want this in her life, period. She wants a dog and beehives in her garden and yeah. she's, and I can go fuck off. So yeah. that was the fear.
Yeah.
And that may still happen.
yeah, you still have that fear.
So powerful to distinguish, right? And then to yeah. take that fear and instead of, like you said, bringing all the smoke and the complaint and the, you know, I've supported you or in this way for these many years and now you're just going to run off. And, you know, to be able to consciously say, hey, which is more vulnerable, I'm a little bit, you know, nervous about this.
Yeah, what's going on here? Yeah. yeah. What does it look like for you going forward? I think that's how we've handled it. It's just like, what does it look like for you? What's your yes? And I think just coming back to that. And the fear is when we have those conversations, there's this like, geez, what if this is
right.
kind of it? What if we're entering into the next phase and the next phase is
separating?
Largely, we don't. Yeah. Largely yeah. separate. So,
yeah, I think that is a lot of reason I hear from clients who come to me is I don't want to talk about it because what if this means the end? But then there's a kind of enduring the discomfort, the distance, right? The separation that's already there.
But yeah, I can't tolerate that. Distance. Yeah, yeah, I fucking hate that shit. Yeah, so I don't. Yeah, we're gonna.
Yeah, neither this. Of us
we're gonna,
tolerate that.
We're
very
gonna
well,
get right into
is,
it.
Yeah.
yeah, yeah.
Right, that living together but alone, or feeling alone, feeling lonely but together. That's yeah.
Yeah, like yeah that that's a really tough place. We don't. Yeah. I mean, I don't know. Honestly, I don't really know how other people do it the way they do it. I have hard, like next to zero tolerance for that, and another just trip. So I mean, we're yeah. just we are a mess if we let it go for more yeah. than like a few hours or a day at most. It's like we can't.
We got to talk about this.
We get yeah, real it's dysregulated. Like, all right, sit down. It's not, you know, it's yeah, it doesn't work to not yeah. talk about it. So okay. that's
so
been an upside.
Yeah, main yeah. practice sounds like talking about it. What else
clearing
are you practicing
up.
Or how else are you actually maintaining the we in the midst of all these yeah. transitions?
Yeah, I mean, I think that to some degree for me, there's, you know, well, I'll say one of the pivotal, you know, so yes, one of the pivotal practices is like, let's play a game called clear it up. Let's clear things up all the time if we need to, you know, so clearing things up, continuing to make sure that we are clear and kind of on a shared reality. Yeah. I think for him, when he was at a point where he was starting to realize that he was creating some assumptions and therefore feeling hurt and scared, and he was able to have the self-awareness. So that was a big practice that I was really grateful for, that he had the self-awareness to be like, yeah. oh my God, this is what's going on for me. I'm afraid of XYZ instead of you.
Yes.
And then for him to, for me to really hear that and for, to listen, really not just listen to what he's saying, but really hear what he's saying to yeah. be able to reflect, like, it sounds like you're scared that this value is on the chopping block.
Right.
And it's not like,
but you
I'm
could
not going
hear
anywhere.
That and reflect that back instead of being threatened and going down
right.
some kind of defensive shame spiral and attacking yeah. back or pulling away.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think that, I mean, there's a lot of nuance, like there's a lot of extra kind of skills that we're not speaking to, but we're, like I had to hold center. I had to remain an adult. I needed to not go into my sort of childlike sort of either shame or protective places or, under like be able to continue to really be present with what was going on over there.
Yeah.
So in some ways, interestingly, even though it was about me, I had to be able to not make it about me to right. be able to stay in the real conversation at hand. Yep. And so, I don't know how to talk about that as a skill. I mean, as a practice, because it really is a skill that gets built, but
it gets built.
That is a practice that we do also.
Yeah.
But the be able to hear what's really coming across the bow luckily we do actually have some real central tenets that were our vows, and that, you know, that we is one of them, like always be in contact, always, you know, come back to each other. And so I could hear that there was that value was getting threatened, and that he was concerned that yeah. value was up for the chopping block. And so to be able to say, I'm not going anywhere.
Yeah.
And to also be honest and say, and yes, my attention is shifting.
Yeah.
And yes, I'm not going to, you know, be at your beck and call, which he doesn't like when I say that, because it's not for him.
It was
not
true. But
for me,
it
largely, I was holding it that way. And so the practice for me, it's really pragmatic. Another practice is just to name, like, here's what this day or this week looks like. And I say that because we both work from home.
Yeah.
And so we have the luxury of fucking off. If we don't have appointments, like we can actually just kind of hang out together or have sex or play or do whatever we want to do with each other. Yeah. Instead of turning towards our own lives. And so the practice for me is like communicating, okay, today I'm going to be over here. I'm not going to turn towards you today, at least for this amount of time.
In that way, you're contextualizing, like, I am going this way, or I am taking this kind of space. It doesn't mean I'm leaving you. Here's when I'll be back.
Yeah.
Or here's what this is going to look like.
Exactly. Which is
a surprise.
And you know, in attachment theory, like if you're in a fight, and I'm just, again, a little teachy moment, but if you're in a fight, one of the things that I talk to my clients a lot about is if you need to take space, like, by all means, take space. Don't make it worse, but let them know you'll be back. Like, look in their eyes and tell them. Or if something big, like, talk to them, and you can go, but, like, let them know you'll be back. So
it
is rooted in
don't
that.
Just.
The thing I would add is that if there's in any relationship, if there's been a norm developed, this is what we do.
Yeah.
And then that starts to change and it's not discussed. Yeah. Then the stories can come up. So
totally.
I think that's how it felt more to me, was that, wait, what's going on? This is what we do. We normally do it ABC. And then there wasn't a discussion that, you know, she's just gone off here and there. And it was like, what does this mean?
Yeah.
And let's clear it up. And it on the surface, it's not that big of a deal, but it would be kind of easy to be like, this is different than what we normally do. Mm-hmm. So what does this signify? And just getting it cleared up, makes it much, much simpler.
Yeah.
And then I can just spend my time trying to derail her.
Which you definitely do. And sometimes really succeed at. But
I sound like this needy bitch. That's my whole life,
like,
is just
an asshole more than a needy bitch. But no, you know, I mean, I just...
it's been a great interview. I really appreciate it.
I'm making you look great, isn't it?
And this guy just fucking sits around the house and waits for me all day, cries if I don't come
home. Demands that I come to him.
What a little bitch.
It's a good thing we know who you really are, Trent. Yeah.
That's exactly right. There is one other piece that feels like an active practice. I mean, I'm sure there's more, but one thing that feels like an active practice that I know that I can fall out of practice with this, and Trent helps anchor us back to the we space a lot, and he does a good job. I'm thankful for it. You started this interview saying, like, with all the things, right? Like, there's kids, there's parenting, there's the kids' schedule, there's our schedule, there's work schedule, there's hormones and healthcare, and there's just all of these pieces and moving pieces at that, moving plates, spinning plates. And I can get swept up in just keeping the train on the tracks, like just keeping it moving, And I mean, I did spend an hour just with scheduling shit.
Oh no, this morning. I only got through one month of the basketball schedule.
Yeah, and the planning.
Get it all entered into the fucking calendar. Are you kidding me?
Yes, exactly. Exactly. And the juggling. Okay, well, if this, then that. And okay, well, then that can't happen. This needs to happen over there. Like just all of that. I'm spending a ton of time doing that. And
so much time.
I can tend to fall into just like, just making that happen. Like, let's just make sure things are running smoothly. And what that can do, because that I'm just focused on keeping the train running in that way. Trips like, do you realize that like we have like all but one night that's free this week? Like, I don't want to live my life like that. And and I'm like, but the kid and the and he has other things. And so that's a one way very pragmatically that I love that he can anchor. He can anchor things like that with the value back with us of like, then when I look at the schedule, I can keep that in mind and be like, okay, wait a minute. Where's the downtime for us as a family?
Where's the downtime? Where's the we time?
Where's the we time for him and I? Where's the we time for the three of us? Where's the like, I'm missing the days where nothing is planned. You know, it's like, that needs to now be planned. Like that we need to have boundaries so that can happen. And he's great at that.
Awesome. Well, I think this is incredibly helpful because I think it's something every couple I know has struggled with or told me that they struggle with, right? That the balance of we with the rest of life and how to make sure, I can't remember if you said this before we recorded or when we started, how to make sure that we doesn't die on the vine. And, you know, it's not like we're throwing out the children or not paying attention to them or not doing the schedule or not making the health appointments. But, you know, there has to be time for we if you want the relationship to thrive. So I appreciate you both standing.
I want
for
to
that.
Insert one thing. I know that we're at time, but I think if the we eclipses the individual, then it'll fall apart.
Yeah.
And so we've talked a lot about the we thing, but one thing we haven't talked about is how much we do nurture our own individuality, because when we go do the things that feed us, whether it's just taking care of our bodies or for me being in the ocean or for her beekeeping and whatever, it's like it's we bring that energy into it. Okay. And so if somehow the we is weakening who we are as individuals, then, you know, we're in a spiral there that there's only so much that can happen. So I'd say there's a whole other discipline here of what are we doing to take care of ourselves
alive. Yep.
Yeah.
Individually, so that we're not coming into the relationship with like, shit, more time with her.
That's a huge piece. I didn't bring it up, but I'm glad you did. That in terms of a struggle, I'm more introverted than he is. And I like have to have alone time to recharge. Yeah. And I mean alone, like everybody out.
And I think that's alone. One of those kind of silent in the background where if you don't realize, I have to take care of myself. I have to nourish myself. I have to feel, you know, alive and vital. Then that can be confusing. It's like, we're having we time. But if the we time isn't feeling exciting or I don't feel like I've got any energy for we time, then we have to start to look back at the alone time.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Absolutely. Totally.
It's huge. Yeah.
Thank you both for being amazing examples of relationship over the decades that is thriving and conscious and loving and playful and, you know, where you both get to be yourselves. It's rare. And sadly, I would like it to be less rare. And I think you two would like that as well for people you work with. So thank you for being a living example.
Thank you so much, Shana, for thanks for doing what you do for all the folks out there that want it.
Oh, thank you. Any last wrap ups and then we can say where to find both of you?
I don't think so.
Yeah, just thank you. Thanks for your work.
So where can people find you and your work and, you know, if they want more of you?
Well, they probably best bet is just to... Honestly, my website's getting revamped, so I don't want to even say it. But AllisonLanier.com is good. That's my website. AllisonLanier. Awesome. Emailing, honestly, just email me.
Okay. Great. We'll put your email in the show notes.
Yeah.
Trip, I know, you know, you have the New Man podcast and you have a book, and you do you have another book that came out, or you're working on the second book?
Working on the second one.
Yeah. Awesome.
Process. Yeah. Going fantastic. So easy. So smooth.
Oh, yeah, so easy to write a book. Working on him.
Oh yeah.
This is yeah. If anybody's interested in the work that I do with people, they can just go to triplinear.com.
Awesome. Thank you both.
Thank you so much.
I'm so glad you joined us for today's episode of Practicing Love. I hope you enjoyed our conversation and gained insight into yourself and your current and past relationships and inspiration for what's possible. If you like what you heard, I'd be so grateful for you to subscribe and write a quick review to help people find us. If you'd like more support in your love life, be sure to get your free copy of my best-selling book, Honest Sex, at shanajamescoaching.com/free. That's shanajamescoaching.com/free. And we'll see you next time.